Economic Development Committee meeting for Tuesday, September 4th, 2018, 6 p.m. We have Alderman Freakers, Alderman Kalisma, and Alderman Cook present, and as well as staff. First item would be citizens' comments. Is there anything special, or is it regarding an item? Okay. If there's no other comments, then we'll move on to minutes for corrections slash approval for July 3rd, 2018.
I'm good with it.
All in favor, aye?
Aye.
Aye, opposed? New business. Item one, EDC 2018-61, building permit report for June and July of 2018.
For June and July, we did 49 residential permits, 21 commercial permits, and 156 miscellaneous permits. Obviously, residential's what's outweighing everything else right now, but we are seeing more commercial stuff start to come in a little here and there. Nothing large, but the Burger King's probably the biggest thing going right now, besides all the expansion, which is actually quite large inside.
What are they doing? Just more shopping area?
It's totally good.
Totally redoing it.
Do they all shut down?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're closed down. They have 1 month from start to finish to get that place to a condition where they can finish the random stuff, but still have customers in and out. So they are working within our time guidelines, but they are right within our guidelines. It's not. I went out there and I said, so you know you guys can't start. And oh no, we know. We're just waiting here in the trucks until we can start. I said, okay. Because I saw them out there at like 5 o'clock in the morning one day. I'm like, I just pulled in. I talked to superintendent. He's like, oh yeah, no, we're waiting. We're just ready to go. He goes, we gotta get this done in 1 month. I'm like,
this Aldi?
Yeah.
They're working in conjunction because they prior to us closing, they had this Plano and Shorewood or Ridge Road there. They had those two closed for modding too. So the idea was that when theirs would finish, they would open them up and then ours would close.
Yep.
So.
And they will, from what the contractor says, they'll jump to the next one. I think it was Batavia is what he said. They'll jump to that one next and they'll do the same thing there. So it's
job security.
Yeah.
Those German companies taking over the world.
Any questions? Move on to item two, EDC 2018-62, building inspection reports for June and July of 2018.
Okay, in June and July, we did a total of 873 inspections. A good portion of those were outsourced to our third-party company that we're using. We've just kind of outgrown our ability to keep everything in-house with our staffing volume and everything, but everything's going smooth with a couple exceptions.
The only thing I was going to ask is, at some point, if you're going to start using that company, is there a way that we get feedback on like how much we're kind of, because right now I think it's in the background, we probably don't really know too much about what.
Every month we get billed every month, and I pass the bill on to Christy, and Christy passes the bill on to Bart, and we keep a running tally of where we're at all times, and I'm assuming.
It's just because then you kind of know what we have to figure on
the
budgets.
When the seesaw tips in the other direction.
Sure. Yeah.
Right.
So somebody notified.
We can include that in next month's report.
Yeah. Okay. It could be even probably doesn't. It could be every quarter or something. Maybe even. Okay.
So yeah, and that's vast majority is all residential inspections. It's the by far the fast growing area. So.
Great. Okay. Item three, EDC 2018-63. Property maintenance report for June and July 2018.
Okay, in June we heard two cases, and in July we heard a pretty good amount of cases. So the largest, the one, the standout, which might be obvious, with 601 Hustis, that's the home on the corner of Fox and Hustis that had the large dead tree with the garage that was falling in. I know there have been some aldermanic complaints about that. And that was, he held them liable and he issued them a citation, the hearing officer did, but he also gave them the opportunity as long as the structure was demolished and the tree was removed by the, I think it was 2 months later, that he would, or actually it was the next month, that he would wipe the citation clear. And he, while we don't encourage that type of finding, it was his decision. So, and they did come back the next month and it was taken care of, so he cleared the slate on that. That had been that way for like 6 months, and we kept working with them. And it was winter last time, and they said they couldn't do it because of winter. So
right. That's
taken care of. And you know, there was the next month was a lot of weeds and grass, and Obviously, 206 Houston Street was the fencing standards. That'd be that outside of the sawmill property where the new fence was added, where you can't see around the corner there. That was the second time we had adjudicated that one, and both times he was found liable. So we're continuing with the trend. We've issued the citation again.
Did he appear?
He did appear the last time with his attorney. and they argued about past cases and whatnot, and I just insisted that this wasn't about any past case or any other relevant issues. It's purely about the safety of the residents, and you cannot see around the corner there.
No, you cannot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All
right.
So.
Anything new about Green Organics?
We've had pretty numerous amount of complaints. You won't see too much on here about that because we direct those directly to the county.
Okay.
So I'm by there in the morning at least 3 days out of the week, just first thing in the morning, 4:30 mm-hmm. or 5 or so, just to, because that's when everything's getting turned the night before and you really smell it then. If I notice anything, we email it right to the county. And if waterproof people call us, we email it right to the county.
Okay.
So we've been trying to be as good as possible about relating every single incident directly to the county. And we were kind of surprised when they said they hadn't had that many complaints when I personally had 20 or 30 complaints. So
I directly mailed, through certified mail, the owners of all the properties to let them know that the city side of it, that special use ends in January. And then we did get an email from the attorney that's representing Green Organics to schedule a meeting with the city. And I reached out to the county as well to see if we could meet and see what the plans are for the county side if we end that particular use, the special use ends. And I haven't gotten any direct response back from the county of wanting to meet, but that they've handled the calls that have come their way that's been directed to the city.
The attorney for the city landowner makes it seem like the other two properties in the county are going to continue to exist, mm-hmm. even if the city one closes. Mm-hmm. So
the city one wasn't the majority of the size, right?
Correct. It was the county side that had the larger portion.
The one closer to the turkey farm?
Sure. That's weird. So we'll see. I mean, we may be able to resolve at least the issue on the city side, but we may then have to deal with it through the county.
Anything else?
That's it. Okay. Item number four, EDC 2018-64, Economic Development Report for July and August of 2018.
So you have 2 months here. Sometimes the names change, just so you know. So the folks from Salsa Verde were working with the name Silo Roja for the new restaurant over at Kendall Crossing. They've changed it to Hacienda Real. So, and I hit a, we actually said.
You are the least Latina person I have ever heard.
And I had the name of the Weeks' new establishment correct, but all the documentation is correct. So it's the flight tasting room and body shop. So Belladonna, I was over there today, and they're hoping to open next week. So they're just kind of finishing up on some things.
Are they closing the sandwich? Or is it
They have closed
the sandwich.
They closed it about a week ago.
Okay.
And then they've been moving everything, and it's kind of like they're doing everything themselves. So. They were hoping to be open this week, but they're like thinking beginning of next week. That way they know they can have everything kind of wrapped up. So
and that's just upstairs?
That's on the main floor, the original cobblestone.
Mm-hmm.
The little building on the side that is their other sister, Hoof and Horn.
Yeah.
That will not be open until October. So.
But they're everything but that little nook is the first floor, the main level, street
well,
level.
Yeah, in the front is an esthetician.
Okay.
You know that, right?
Yeah.
It's like Harmony Aesthetics.
Yeah.
She's up in the front. So then, you know, they'll have all the rest of the first floor.
So they're not doing roasting up there, right? They're just...
No roasting.
Okay.
No roasting. So, and then Senso Samarati Yoga Studio is moving from around the corner, and they are going to be in the Masons building as of October 1st. So lots of stuff happening in the downtown. Lots of things moving around. So just... heads up on that. And then obviously the big news on my report is Arby's, and it's kind of hit, it's on WSPY, and Tony Scott actually interviewed Jonas today, so probably a lot of articles about that. So the former Hardee's is going to become Arby's. So we've been working with them for a while, and they're going to really take it down to the studs, and it's going to be unrecognizable. The building will be that you won't recognize the former Hardee's as the former Hardee's. It'll look completely different when they're done.
Are they going to get the big cowboy hat sign?
I don't know if those are in these days or not.
I don't care if they're in. I demand it.
Yes.
The cow still has the big cowboy hat.
That's what I'm saying. Yes!
Yeah.
It's always a big hat.
So, and Raging Waves is moving along nicely. As a matter of fact, we're meeting tomorrow with them, so we're going to really get started on their expansion. And then also, I can tell you that I was hopeful, if we didn't have a holiday, we might have been able to make an announcement on the former Office Max space. I've got a major new tenant for that space, and they're just finishing off their documents back and forth. So I'll let you know as soon as I can tell you.
Is it live indoor paintball?
Perhaps. We'll have to just wait and see. So, but I can tell you that their intention is also to be open by the end of the year. So
paintball.
We always like when that happens.
It's close.
I won't hold my breath.
Okay. Well,
everybody always says they're going to open a certain time.
Yeah.
And then we get
on this one, we're going to keep our fingers crossed. So.
Hence, how's my Pinkwood Hall going in the south end of the town?
Well, now he is saying in the beginning of 19.
Ding, 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 ding.
So, it's, but at least things are moving along.
They're moving along.
And we've actually, between Burger King, Hardee's, we've really had a good run. So, and there's another one also, another restaurant, quick casual fast food, that's finalizing a deal as well. So. Oh, and also, I did mention that there is a woman that is looking at the former Subway space. I should put that on there. Hopefully I wrote that on there. South End. Yes.
Nice.
The former Subway space is as a local Yorkville resident who's looking to do pizza plus, well, more like all kinds of sandwiches. Okay. But she won't be using the drive-up, like, order your food. She'll be using just the pickup window. She'll be using it as a pickup window. So you can order pizza and then not have to get out of your car to go.
Come around and pick it up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how I work.
So, and I have encouraged her. She's leasing the Subway space, but she has the right of first refusal on the space next to it. Because I think she's going to be really successful. And I said to her, just tell them you want right of first refusal. Because then if somebody comes in, no one may rent it. But if somebody does, then she can pull the trigger and have that space too. Because I think she's going to do really well. So that's good stuff.
Excellent.
Any place I can have pizza delivered directly to my face.
Yeah.
It's probably a good place.
Any other questions? Okay. Item number 5. EDC 2018-05 flight team / request for special use.
Okay, so flight team is the petitioner for this application for a special use for a tavern. They are proposing to, as a part of the construction of a multi-tenant 7,000 square foot building, lot 6 in the Kendall Crossing PUD, they're going to lease 3,000 square feet of it for their tasting room and bottle shop. The use is considered a special use in the city because there is no food preparation associated with this, so that's why we have to go through this process similar to what we did with the law office. Right now, their petition is they're going to sell packaged liquor for off-site consumption, have a tasting room component, and then in the future add a beer garden. The location of it is just south of the Lighthouse Daycare facility. They are proposing to have their entrance facing south, facing the roadway, so that there's no facing the school, and then traffic would then come off of Kendall Circle. There's a sketch in here of the interior of how the layout of the site is going to be. We looked at traffic and parking. Parking is going to be adequately provided for the entire 7,000 square feet, so there's not just an addressing the 3,000 that this particular user is going to have. For the entire building, they will be required 21 off-street. They're proposing 47, so they're amply parked. Ingress and egress to the site is going to be off Kendall Circle. A lot of it is going to be internal private roadway, so there's no issue with congestion. And adequate utilities obviously exist. Comprehensive plan sees this area as destination commercial, which is adequate and appropriate for this type of request. If you look in the packet, there is language about how I mentioned previously, how the zoning views tavern uses versus the liquor code, and we kind of break that down for you in a table of how other uses have been seen through the zoning code and then what their liquor license requirements were. There's some criteria here for special use that the Planning and Zoning Commission will have to review to make their determination, and they are scheduled for a public hearing on September 12th. And hopefully, if things go well, they'll be on the September 25th regular City Council meeting for final determination. The petitioner and their attorney is here tonight, so if you have any questions for them, if they want to make a presentation.
We're happy to answer any questions. We feel like this is a very compatible use, especially given the hotel and banquet hall. I know there's another wine bar going in the area. That's going to be more of a destination, sit down, have a few drinks, have something to eat. We anticipate this with a craft beer specialty and more, you know, if you have one taste, one beer, or a couple different selections, not necessarily a destination where you go and sit and, you know, have three beers and a meal. They are looking also to possibly have some food trucks available at the location, so there is some food available on weekends and evenings. So we're here to answer any questions. Longtime residents of Yorkville, looking forward to hopefully the use be approved.
So the beer will be for tasting, consumption, and purchase, I assume, right?
Yes.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Package sales.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very similar. There's actually quite a few establishments popping up in the area, in the city. Tinley Park has one called Open Bottle. Romeoville has one, Iron and Glass. And you go, you know, they have like 10 beers on tap. You can, you know, try a few, but then there's also some to take home. So in a you know, kind of ideal situation, when you look at some of our restaurants, they have quite a beer selection. So if you look at Crusade, so you have a beer there, I really like it, great, but you can't take it home there. So right now, so craft beer in Yorkville, Jewel, maybe some of the liquor stores, you're leaving town. So we actually live in Heartland. We're Yorkville residents. We drive a long way for good beer. So why not get it here? So that good beer that you had at Crusade, you can come to our store and buy it and take it home and enjoy it at home. Which is something that's not offered here today.
So when people come in for the tasting, do they get the small flights, or can they actually buy a beer and sit there and drink?
Yeah, it's not like just tasting. We say tasting room, but you can buy a pint or a 10-ounce or a 5-ounce, depending on what beer it is. Mm-hmm. So you can sit at the bar and enjoy beer, or you can take it over to the shop and drink your beer while you're browsing the bottles.
Okay.
But the other thing is bring your own food. So you can have a pizza delivered. You can have takeout, bring it. We'll have food trucks. So there's, and again, that's kind of a venue that's kind of up and coming. If you go to Brew Works in Plainfield, like, parents will bring like a whole smorgasbord for their children, and they'll sit and have beers with friends. And that's, it's kind of a, it's meant to be a social place. Come unplug. We don't plan on having TVs. We don't plan on, you know, doing lottery. It's come and be human and connect to another human, which is, again, not something that we really have around here.
So you have growlers and crawlers, or is it?
We are unable to do growlers because we're not a brewery.
Should work on that.
So that's what I was wondering. So if you go somewhere else, like you mentioned Crusades, and there's a craft beer you like there, will you guys carry the same?
We're gonna try.
Okay.
Yeah. We'd like to even have a display that says, "This is what they have at Crusade, and this is what they have at Millhurst," etc.
I think the use is kind of perfect for the location, especially considering not just the hotel, but the funeral home. I know I usually pregame funerals. I've been to a number of this last couple of years, and that's might sound funky, but I think it's a pretty actual convenient area for it, especially with a restaurant going in too. And plus, we'd like to see all those lots filled in the next couple of years. So I'm...
I think it's cool, yeah.
Yeah, I'm totally for new construction in that area. Especially considering a lot of those lots have been, you know, vacant for 5 or 6 years while the rest of the area is kind of blown up. So I think it's a cool idea. I will definitely imbibe.
I think if we don't approve this part, we'll quit.
Yes.
It's quite fine.
It wasn't in the memo, but yeah.
It was implied.
I read between the lines.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm fine with it.
I'm into it. So this goes, what, to be sent to a hearing, public hearing?
Yes, PZC on the 12th.
Okay. You've already approved the liquor code amendment to up the number of tavern licenses to accommodate this use, so they've already applied. I don't know if we've already gotten all the materials back yet or not, but I wouldn't anticipate there to be a problem. But it is a full tavern license, so they can have spirits, wine, beer if they choose, and then they can also do retail sales to go to. So they're not restricted by anything within the existing code.
Spirits are not a bad thing.
Yeah.
That's phase two.
Sweet. Okay, good luck.
Thank you. Don't screw this up.
Okay, item six, EDC 2018-66, sign ordinance tax amendment.
All right, this is an issue being brought forward by staff. Back in March, this is where it kind of all comes from, the heritage sign. There was an appeal in how staff interprets our sign ordinance as towards how we've consistently interpreted our sign ordinance and the intent of it. Upon the finishing of the appeal, a decision was made to let Heritage Sign put their sign there, and we would rework our language to be more specific in what we expect from people putting up building-mounted signage. Kind of the need for clarification, a lot of newer buildings have articulated walls, brick columns, stone facing, and lots of different depths. So we typically have something where we measure if there's, you know, a big corner piece that sticks out kind of far, that's a wall, and then the other wall is different because we measure signage by linear feet of a wall, and then you get a certain percentage of sign on that wall. So that's really what we're trying to clarify here, and in the packet and the memos, the intent is really on the bottom, the top one is to have things not go all the way to the end, not take up, you know, we have a saying of no wall sign shall extend more than 75% of the width of the building facade, which is intended to make sure you're not going all the way over to the wall, but the way you can interpret it is more on the bottom, which is the way the heritage sign people work, where you can go all the way over the wall and kind of have a bigger, bulkier sign. It's kind of against the intent of what we're trying to do. So staff looked up all the nearby adjacent municipalities to see how they deal with signage and if they've had any of these complications. Almost all of them, Oswego, Plano, Plainfield, Naperville, Sugar Grove, measure wall signage the way we do. You get a percentage based off the linear feet of the wall, in so many words. Montgomery has a little more complicated system where they designate and have calculations to do a sign area. And Aurora just determines by the percentage of a facade. Oswego as well has a width, and a lot of them have different widths. Sugar Grove is the only one that calls off these depths. Theirs was 15 feet apart. So on a building, if you have it here, and then a big wall jets out 15 feet in here, now these are two separate walls. But we're kind of in a situation with this multi-tenant building where they're leasing more than one space. And in our code, it says, you know, the tenant of that space, that's considered their wall. So what ended up with Heritage is they're taking up all this space and it's going to the edge. And so we've come up with some draft language. I won't read it word for word, but in the general provision sections, kind of going over what we expect the new language to be and how we're going to determine that. This is draft language, and actually the graphics I made, I feel, need to be updated. I've already gone over with our legal counsel that there need to be some improvements and clarities made. But basically we're saying it's going to be, your wall is going to be measured as whatever, as opposed to your facade, but a wall that faces a lot line. There's a difference in depth of more than 4 feet. These are now two separate walls. So it kind of gets out of the room. If there's a column and you have a whole wall, that's still your whole wall. But if you have something wide enough where you can fit a doorway in, that was kind of our understanding, that kind of constitutes a new thing. And that's kind of taken from OMG Liquors. OMG Liquors was the one in Yorkville where they have something jetting out and their sign goes all the way across end to end. They considered it one wall. It was right after the zoning ordinance was passed and, you know, we hadn't really had a system for determining measurements yet. So we decided on the 4 feet, and then on top of that, at what angle determines a new wall. Anything we decided is an obtuse angle over 135 degrees. If it has a slight bank, that can still be determined one exterior wall, but anything more than the other way, all the way up to 90 degrees or more, is going to be a new wall. So that could use some revision, but we really want to hear your opinions on that. And then just to top it off, and all the different for in business zoning districts for single-use and multi-tenant buildings, we're adding language, one, to clean up, instead of saying facade, say exterior wall, since now we will be measuring them as both separate entities. And then also saying you can't be 1 foot from the edge no matter what. If it over, you know, if it goes all the way and to the edge of a wall, you gotta be 1 foot regardless of if that's 75% or less. And then similarly, vertical walls as well, all the way to the top, just to give it a little more room and kind of increase the intent of what we want out of our building mounted signage. So that is it. We're just looking for input. This is going to be going to the October 10th PZC meeting. If there are a lot of notes here, we can always bring this back to the EDC meeting on the 10th. Still have that public hearing on that day. So we're just looking for comments.
So before we dive into what we want to change, if we change anything, what are we doing about Heritage and OMG? Like they're non-conforming, but
they're legally non-conforming.
Okay.
Heritage got the exemption when they went to the appeal, yeah. So they're fine. Mm-hmm. OMG came in, they're existing, and our sign or our non-conforming ordinance says signs can remain for a period of time. Mm-hmm. I think it's 5 years.
5 years.
We have it on our calendar, so at the 5-year mark of their permit, or okay. Before that, we will notify them that they have to come into compliance, right. Whatever the current ordinance is.
So it's not really true grandfathering then?
It is a amortization. So they're allowed to stay for a period of time to allow them to make the necessary changes.
But the reason for these changes is more going forward, right? So you don't...
Correct, you can nip this in the bud. This, any change to zoning ordinance through a text amendment is not retroactive. It goes forward, so you can't... Unless there's a change.
The purpose of this is to clean up. This is how we've been interpreting it anyway. Yeah. Now we're just trying to give solid language in there to go forward with that.
And we looked over 50 signs that we issued, wall signs that we had issued.
88 since 2014, since we passed the new zoning ordinance.
And we only came across one incident. Which was OMG that actually moved forward, and the other ones were not allowed to move forward. Heritage was one that appealed because we denied them.
And then the difference now between facade and wall is that a facade is something that encapsulates design elements, whereas a wall would have a mounted sign, if they so chose.
Right, so a facade would be the entire frontage of a building facing a lot line, mm-hmm. Regardless of depth or how many walls that can be on a facade.
Okay.
You can have more than one wall on a facade, especially if it juts out more than 4 feet. That's our determination beyond that. Anything less than that, we would consider same continuous wall. Because we don't want to be too harsh in the fact that if there's a pillar or an architectural element, we don't want to not incentivize things that look good.
Sure.
You know, just to be like, well, I won't put that up so I can have the sign I want. We don't want to incentivize that kind of...
How about a situation like the picture for the Heritage where you have the front of the building where there's two units, mm-hmm. and the one unit has the Heritage over it, and then the mm-hmm. other unit's vacant, but there's like a column in the middle? But according to your marker, that's one facade. So would the 75% start getting eaten up by the Heritage sign? And then when the next person comes in, they get what's left?
Well, on a multi-tenant building, mm-hmm. it's per tenant. So
for storefront,
same facade.
Correct, and each tenant gets their 75%.
And then do we measure, like for example, in that one where it has the column in the middle, do mm-hmm. we measure the foot off the column then? so they don't go directly up against the columns?
Yes, so there's also languages in there that if it is bound by two columns, architectural element, or, if it's bound by that, that will be considered the extent of the wall.
So it'll come a foot off of that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, obviously when I looked at the two generic diagrams with the spread out sign and the mm-hmm. centered sign, of course I prefer the center mm-hmm. sign versus this big spread out monster, but mm-hmm. I think clearing it up and making it very clear what we intend to do is the right thing to do.
Thanks.
So there are no surprises.
No, I totally agree with that. And then if Arby's does come back with the big
sombrero?
Yeah.
Well,
that's okay. That
we totally would have.
Standards. Standards
don't matter.
As long as they can fit within
32
square feet, they are okay.
If they want to put one of those guys with the Marlboro Man,
yes,
the hat,
yes,
we would totally.
I'm
that.
Waiting for the neon sign.
That would be a variance.
I'll show them the sign variance for them, and we'll come in front of all you.
Okay. I just know that Alderman Funkhauser would approve that.
And if the Marlboro Man could have smoke coming out.
Yes.
Totally.
Is that Back to the Future too? I'm impressed.
Was it vacation?
Good enough.
Yeah, I would say clean it up and make it workable.
We will
defined.
Probably bring it back to October just so you can see mm-hmm. the final version of it, and we'll probably have a draft ordinance at that time too.
More illustrations are always better.
Yep. I'm going to do a much better one to kind of clarify. Jim had a lot of comments, so we'll probably bring it back in October with the final version.
Cool. Okay.
I'm all for it.
Got no old business, any additional business? So then meeting adjourned.